Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Radio.
This is your host, Mufasa Rob. I got my other co-host on the line, Brother Kev and Lil Lachey. What's up, y'all?
Hey, how you doing? How is everybody?
Yeah, all is well
up
on this side. Yeah.
Well, we can hook up again today for another edition of Collective Minds Radio, a day we can put our collective minds together, you know what I'm saying, come up with some solutions in our community. So, you know, before we get started, like we always do, anybody want to make any announcements? Brother Kev, you got something on your mind you want
to? Yeah, I had two quick announcements. First, to the family and people out in Houston, just want to send, you know, some love and light to them. I know they had, like, major flooding down there, and they actually expected, like, 50 more inches of rain. So, you know, just send a shout out to the airwaves, to anybody in Houston, you know, be safe, you know, live with you. And, you know, just continue to hold yourself down, make sure you take care of your family, your loved ones, you know, the elderly people in your family, and, you know, be safe, and this too shall pass. So, just want to send a shout out to Houston. And then, number two, just a quick congratulations to that boy Mayweather. He did his thing last night and knocked out Conor McGregor in the biggest fight in boxing history. So, congratulations to Mayweather, that boy, 50-0. You dig?
Yes, yes, yes. And also, too, speaking of Houston, you know, I have some friends and we have family there as well. So, yeah, definitely be safe. It's very interesting. It was an ironic situation for me. Especially, you know, we just got past the Eclipse Monday, you know, so I look at this as a direct effect of the eclipse, considering how instrumental the moon is with the tiding and, you know, how all those things interact, the water, just everything. So I look at this as something, you know, like a after eclipse effect. And so it's just kind of interesting how, you know, and I was listening to, you know, the news and CNN, how they sounded like they knew exactly what was about to go down, you know. So, to me, I took that as them having a little more insight, because they do have a little more insight when it comes to those types of things, you know, than just the general public. And how they was just really urging people to get out. And I know some, I got a call today from Houston. You know, they didn't take heed, you know. It ended up being worse than what they imagined, you know. But the officials and things like that, they were straight warning. They even went as far as to say that, you know, and I heard my own self mention on TV, on CNN, hey, you have nothing to lose but your life. So we please urge everybody to evacuate. And if you don't, you have nothing to lose but your life. They even went as far as to say, if you do stay, write your Social Security number and your name on your arm. You know.
Right.
So they knew it was gonna be big. But I think some of those things were easily to predict due to the, you know, how the after effect of the eclipse, how it affects our earth function, you know, the weather, all those things play a major role, you know. So I just thought that was rather interesting. I just kind of wanted to just touch on that, since we just left these clips and then now here we have some things going on. And I'm going to just be more watchful, because, you know, it can be other stuff that's coming up. You know, although our weather right now here in St. Louis is pretty nice, but it's still kind of interesting to me, though. So I'm still being watchful. I've been hearing and seeing a lot of people capturing different images, faces and stuff in the sky, you know, close people. That's not just random pictures and stuff that you see that's on the internet, you don't know who took it. But, like, when it comes to close people taking pictures, you know, a lot of different images. So I'm just being a little watchful. I just thought the eclipse was an amazing phenomenon and a historic thing for the people right here today. And I was just interested in that. And, you know, seeing what else is going to come due to it. Because I do think that there's an aftermath to this.
Yeah, very interesting, very enlightening. You know what I'm saying? You might not have gotten it right in there, but I agree 100%. You don't know, we don't know what's the full effects to come down the road. What's, what all type of energy thing down on the people and on the earth. So, yeah, everybody needs to stay in tune with themselves. My little announcements of the day was I had a good weekend. I want to give a shout out to the St. Well, it's not no longer called the St. Louis Pan African Movement. They recently changed their name to Pan African Movement. This weekend, Saturday, they put together a event for Marcus Garvey's birthday in the park, and it was beautiful to see the people come out and fly their red, black, and green, and you know, celebrate Marcus Garvey's legacy. So I appreciate the work that they're doing in the community, trying to, you know, teach our kids and our babies and teach everybody to come together and teach them a little bit about Marcus Garvey's legacy. Also, today, this morning, went to a breakfast that was put on by the new Black Panther Party, a community breakfast. And they did that. They was out feeding the community. And this is something that they've been working on. So, you know, people are out here doing the work, trying to reach the community and help people out. We all got to come together and do our part. And when you come across organizations like this, and if you have a love for community work, community activism, you know, reach out, support, give a hand, give a helping hand, because we need each other, you know what I'm saying? That's how we build our way up. That's how we become a nation. And then speaking of nation, nationhood, that's what our topic is for today. We're talking about nationhood, nationality, rather. And, you know, we want to know if you know what your nationality is. Most important, we're trying to decide what is the nationality of the descendants of the African slaves, people who were brought here in slavery. We were brought here. Or when the slaves were brought here, we know that a lot of their history, culture, everything was taken away from them. Everything was retaught to them to think a totally different way. So we want to know if you guys have any ideas on what their nationality is or what it was. Also, what do you consider yourself? What is your nationality? Do you consider yourself an American, you know, African, or Black person, whatever you think it is? At this point, I don't consider anything being the wrong answer. You know what I mean? So, Lola Shay, if you can kick us off by telling us what you think your nationality is. What's your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, I always thought this was an interesting question. And then, but it seems like, you know, if I understood everything you were saying correctly, it's like, okay, the slaves that were brought over here, it's like it's easier to identify them with a nation. But I think the confusing part becomes since the ones here now, today, you know, who've never even been to Africa, you know, Africa country, those things like that, it makes it a little more tougher to decide, at least for me. It does. So I personally don't like to, at this moment, identify with something because I don't know. You know, I honestly don't know. That's why I was actually kind of looking forward to this show, to just kind of hear what some people would say and how did they derive to their conclusion on what they would consider themselves. I do know that I'm a Black woman. I know that. You know, but as far as my nation, like my nation, it's hard to determine for me when it's been you know, so dysfunctional. You know, it's like, because it really would boil down to what the nationality and the nation is. If, you know, if I like to say, okay, I'm a black woman, but I'm not technically from Africa, or even technically, it's like, do I still have, I guess I would still have some rights to that, but at the same time, I'm here in America. This is where I'm born and raised. Technically, do I have rights to this? Am I both? I guess that's where the term African American came from. But that's, African American is not one single place. That's just because it's confusion. You know, we don't know what to say. So I don't know. I don't know what would I identify with as far as that concerns, outside of just being a black woman or human. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what's up. You know, everybody has their opinion, their feelings. And like I said earlier, it ain't no wrong answer to me in this matter. So, Brother K, what's up with you, man? What's your nationality? How you feel?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, to be honest, I'm right with Love Lachey on the whole topic, because I feel like the African in America has always suffered from an identity crisis, you know, because when we were first brought over here, our identity was stolen, and we could have came from a few different West African countries, you know, in Africa. So that right there alone, and by them bringing us over here and just, you know, having us cohabitate and co-mingle, that right alone caused confusion. And the fact that we were originally brought over here as property. Now, I do have to make this disclaimer as well, too, because we do know that there were a lot of Africans who are already over here as well. You know what I'm saying? So I do have to make that distinction. And then you have the Native Americans, which I consider them Africans as well, or quote unquote black people, or people with melanin, people with color, you know what I'm saying? So I consider American Indians as part of being part of the tribe, part of the diaspora, of the African, you know, the African diaspora, because truth be told, a lot of our ancestors, you know, mingled and had families with each other, you know, with African and American Indians. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, we've been going through identity crisis, you know what I mean? Because first we was, you know, we were slaves, then we went to Negro, colored, African-American, black, all these different titles to give us an identity, and which I do believe is one of the main causes of our problems and how we act here today in America. You know what I'm saying? It's because we really don't have an identity, and a man without an identity is really, you know what I mean, like a tree without roots. I think it's a quote that says something like that, like a man that doesn't know his history is like a tree without the roots. So, you know, we just stuck over here, and we get a new name every 10, 20 years, you know what I'm saying? But these are classifications. You dig what I'm saying? These are not nations or nationalities. Like, you can
exactly be
colored or Negro, but there's no nation called Negro or colored or black or African-American, which I hate African-American, but that's a whole other topic. But these labels and terms are just that. They're just labels. They're just statuses. They're socio-political and socio-economic statuses that we have been given, which I personally feel don't really grant us any rights. So just real quick, I do want to go, because for me, when I was doing my, you know, when I was doing my research, I was looking at things like it's two decisions basically in the
two decisions that I looked at when I was asking, okay, what is your nationality? And the first one is the Dred Scott case, right? So the Dred Scott case, which was tried, started in Missouri, and ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court. But it was Dred Scott versus John F. A. Sanford, for those that don't know. And it was argued February 11th through February 14th, 1856. So we're talking about 1856. This is a few years before the Civil War, just to give you a context. So Dred Scott ended up suing this guy for his freedom, and it was decided in the Supreme Court on March 6, 1857, and it was written up by Chief Justice Roger B. Taney. You dig what I'm saying? So, and that decision came down that said, now y'all got to listen very closely on this one, right? It said, a Negro whose ancestors were imported into the U.S. and sold as slaves, whether enslaved or free, could not be an American citizen and therefore had no standing to sue in federal court. Okay? That was part of his decision. And he also said that the African in America, now that's crucial right there. You dig what I'm saying? Because that decision is still on the books and has never been overturned. You dig what I'm saying? So, and he also said that, you know, a white man does not have to respect the rights of, you know, any Africans in America. So that was number one that I looked at. Number two was the 13th Amendment, which came down in on December 18th, 1865. It's the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which abolished, well, the 13th and 14th kind of go together, but I'm going to get the 13th first. And the 13th Amendment abolished slavery and involuntary servitude except as a punishment for a crime. And then the 14th Amendment is crucial, but it kind of goes with the 13th Amendment and the Dred Scott case, because this is what we're actually fighting for today. Like, when these brothers get shot, when we get shot down by the police and our rights are violated, the 14th Amendment is what they're violating, right? And the 14th Amendment, which was brought down on July 9th, 1868, so that's, I think that's like during or close to the end of the Civil War, you know what I'm saying? And that granted, it's supposed to grant equal protection to everyone under the law. And everyone should have a right to life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness, right?
Now, you say everyone, you mean every American citizen? Is that what you're saying? Or
Yeah, correct. Yeah, when I say everyone, I mean every American citizen should have a right to this. Exactly. So-called American citizens should have a right to this. You dig what I'm saying? But this is the conflict, because this is what we're fighting for. But if you decide in the Dred Scott case that we cannot be citizens, you know, where does that leave us with the 14th Amendment, which is why our rights continue to be violated? You dig what I'm saying? Because somebody broke down something, too, that I think actually I give credit. I heard Dr. Umar Johnson break this down, and he said that Black people in America or Africans in America have privileges, right? We have privileges, but we don't have rights. And privileges means basically that someone has to approve your right. They have to give you a privilege to do certain things. And a right just means you're actually born with that. You know, you're actually born with that right. You know what I mean? It's like a birthright. So the Africans in America, we have privileges, and we're allowed to do things. We're allowed to be free. We're allowed to, quote-unquote, be registered as American citizens. However, we're not protected. We don't have equal protection under the law like, you know, other U.S. citizens. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. They don't really consider us citizens. So those are the things I looked at. So I asked myself, am I American? Well, based on the Dred Scott case, no. You dig what I'm saying? I was born here. I do know that. I was here before, you know, the European, you know, my ancestors was here before the European even established this country. You dig what I'm saying? But am I an American based on the Dred Scott? No. Do I feel like an American? No. Based on, you know, just based on what we see on a day-to-day and how black males and African people in general are treated in this country. Mm-hmm. So I've never really felt like an American, even though I'm talking about the government. You dig what I'm saying? Because the land, this is a beautiful land mass. This is my home. You know what I mean? I'm connected to it. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of beautiful places in America, but I'm separating the land mass from the pseudo government that we have established. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm with Tanya. I'm going to just wrap it up real quick. I'm with Tanya. I don't really know my nationality, to be honest, because I am registered as an American citizen. However, I don't feel like, you know, I've been treated like one, or my ancestors have been fully treated as human American citizens. So I'm kind of up in the air. You know what I mean? I do identify with my African culture.
Right.
So I do know that, you know, I do know that I'm African and I'm classified as black. So honestly, that's as far as I can get. Like I said, I believe that's why we're having a lot of issues. So this was a great show, and I'm glad we're talking about this, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody that's on the call line, if you hear your number called up and you want to say something, go ahead and chime in. If you don't want to say nothing, just, you know, don't say nothing. We'll put you back on mute, and we'll carry on with the show. You can continue to hold on and listen in. So I'm going to go in on it later. Love to say you got we got someone on the line. We want to take some calls.
Yeah, we can start taking a call or two. Boy, get deep in there. Let's try 314-319. Caller, are you there? 314-319. Okay. 314-319. Okay. So let's try we'll try one more and go on and just see we'll find this. Caller 314-616. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
314.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Peace, caller, loud and clear. We got you.
Okay.
Peace.
I'm sorry, I'm just now chiming in, and I'm guessing that the topic of our discussion is about classification of indigenous Africans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nationality.
You know, I really caught the tail end of what Brother Kevin was saying, because if we're truthful, for the most part, you know, without any DNA testing, we don't know what we are. And even though, you know, you may find out that you're from, you know, Hausa or Igbo or Yoruba or something like that, did the people
right.
of antiquity classify themselves as that? You know,
right.
And that's what I always ask myself, because, like, I recently learned, like, even when you're dealing with, like, the Omec, that's a name that the Europeans gave them. These people classify themselves as the people of the Shi, I believe. So,
right.
you know, this type of discussion is always interesting, and I think that, you know, even as we move forward with that, it's not even about classification, but are we willing to work together as indigenous people? Because, you know, there are some things that I like about the Moors, because they try to deal with jurisdiction and things of that nature, but,
right.
you know, when we start doing the classification thing, I've understood now that we never were citizens. You know, this
right.
is something
mm-hmm.
that Europeans have made up. And, you know, even as we have these kind of discussions, what amazes me, because I've come to the understanding that at this point in life, so much has been taken from us. You have a group of people that for hundreds of years, even upon a thousand, you've been robbed, pillaged, kidnapped, loss of language, land, knowledge of self, everything. So
yes, sir.
You've even had, more importantly, they destroyed our libraries.
Yeah.
And once you destroy a person's library, you can write anything. So the
yeah.
things that we think or believe we know, we don't even know if this stuff has any validity to it.
Facts. Indeed.
You know, so, you know, that's that's kind of where I wanted to go with that, as it references to language and identifying certain groups of people. You know, how are we identified? You know, what's the classification for identification, so to speak?
Right.
If I tell you that you're Taino, or if I tell you that you are you know, this or that, you know, what does that mean?
Right.
So
exactly.
That's kind of a question I'm putting out there to the guys here at Law Talk as well. Once a person is classified as something, what exactly does that supposed to mean? Because I'm not going to play that we all human beings game, because that entails, as Dr. Umar always says, an illusion of inclusion. So do we need to identify ourselves culturally? Do we identify ourselves, you know, spiritually? You know, how does all that come together?
Well, I think it all ties in. That's the important part of when you figure out your nationality. To have, in my opinion, to have a nationality, you need a nation, which means you need a landmass. You need a set of rules to go by. You know, you need a civilization. And so what makes that important for us is because since everything was taken from us, we do need to reestablish ourselves as something in order to get any type of respect, you know, from any other nation on this planet. That's probably another reason why, like Brother K brought up, those are good points. But also to take it deep even further, that's why we're not respected throughout the world. It's because they know we don't have a nation. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but that's not our fault, though. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to cut you off, but real quick, that's not our fault, you know?
It's not our fault. It's not our fault, but like the caller was saying, you know, what's the importance of having it? That is the importance of creating it, is because that's how you start to get your power and respect back.
Yeah. Indeed. We're getting some feedback. Can you mute your line if you're not speaking? We're just getting a little feedback. Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, bro. So, yeah, that's the importance of establishing out a nation, you know, and figuring out what we want to call it. You know, throughout this these past few days, I've been asking people this question, and I've gotten different, you know, different labels or different feedbacks from people saying that they this or they that. And at one point, I was comfortable with saying, I'm black, because, you know, when you fill out, like I said in our codes, when we was discussing codes, when you filling out applications and now your birth certificates, you know, black is on there, African American is on there, but I like myself, I don't mind black, because black don't, there is no black nation, correct? Now, we all know that there is no black nation, no nation called black.
Right.
But that gives us something to carve out. Maybe we can fight for a black nation. We can seek out our own liberation from America and become a black nation. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Where
would the land be,
though? Where would the land be? I feel like the land should be right here. And that's not saying that you can't build with our brothers, you know, in Africa or South America, wherever you feel ties from. But the thing is, it's owed to us because we helped to put this so-called America. We helped to put it together. So for a lot of this, you know, it belongs to us, I think. So I'm fine with carving out a section of it. You know what I'm saying? Carve out a section. It's like with over in the Middle East when you got Palestine or whatnot. You know what I mean? They fighting for their liberation constantly. This is our state, our holy land. hey, we need to fight for our holy land. We need to carve us out a piece of this.
Who will tell me where that land will be? How would it become determined that?
I will tell you this. That conversation right there is something that I wouldn't want to talk about over the air. That's something that we need to talk about in private. So, because when you can.
Am I on there?
Yeah, you said that, bro.
Okay. I want to kind of piggyback on the question that she was asking, and I mean, just to put it simple, this thing is going to have to be taken by force. Because do you think that people that have enslaved you and done everything that they've done to you are now going to present a platform of equality? Do you think that the great grandchildren that are the benefactors of slavery are going to now turn around and disarm themselves and say, hey, you know what, you guys are right. So, you know, I tell my cousins, we had a discussion all the time, until the African in Africa, the Caribbean, and America understand that they are all under the banner of white supremacy, we're going to continue to have the problem that we're having. You know, and I think that's why presidents like Lyndon B. Johnson and even the guy that came out with the memorandum, they put this legislation into effect because they understand the power of unification. When you think about Asia, whether you're Chinese, Japanese, Korean, they're not at war with each other because guess what? Whether they're in America, whether they in the Caribbean or now Africa, they understand who they are as a people.
Right.
And even as we're having this discussion, one other thing that we never think about is a lot of the customs that these people are living by, these were things that were originally ours, taken from us, and then reintroduced as something else.
Fact.
If that makes sense. You know, even as we're qualifying nationality, one of the things that Dr. Khalid Muhammad used to always say is, you know, whether we're in the UK or wherever we're at, you know, we all may identify different with nationality, but Africa is still our home.
Let me say this, bro. Let me say this because what I was saying, most people find that as a unrealistic goal. So
what's that?
But what I was saying about carving out a nation, I think that's why I love the thing was asking what she was saying. So I understand that a lot of us look at that as being unrealistic because we get to talk about, well, if we got to take it by force, where are we going to prep us from and all that. So,
we want to talk about something.
Yeah, let me just say this real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I agree because I'm one of the people. I don't think it's unrealistic. I just think it's further down the line than, you know, 20 or 30 years. I think it's much further down the line because we're going to have to get equipped to fight a straight out war to carve out that land. So we'll go ahead, though.
Right. And I mean, just to kind of touch on what Brother Kevin's saying is, there are many different things that it would take to go against the system of white supremacy. You have to have an army. We don't have an army.
Right.
And so when I look at the African in Africa, when I look at the African in America, when I look at the African in the Caribbean, I notice that we all have things that each other need. Like, I look at the president of Zimbabwe, you know, and other African nations. You know, we need in America to be supplying them to be able to protect themselves, right? Because here in America, I don't think anybody will argue that we are the richest Africans on the face of the earth. Africa has the resources, and our brothers in the Caribbean, they have the food supply. So, in order to go to war, you're going to need money, you're going to need a militia, you're going to need resources, you're going to need all these things. So, How can mm-hmm. one brother in one part of the country say, hey, I'm ready? But we have to have all these things working on one accord together. That's why the United States hasn't invaded Asia like that, because they know that, hey, if I go to war with China, these people hold certain things that are obligated mm-hmm. towards that, you know. That's the main reason why we get our picking on here in America, because we don't have a nation establishment that says, hey, you know, Kevin might be a Muslim, I might be a this, I might be a that, but I identify with him as an African, and if something happens to him, then we go on to war with America.
Right, and there's different, like he said, there's different facets to war, right? The physical war is always the last thing to manifest. You did
exactly.
Because you have educational war, you have financial wars, you have all these wars that are going on right now. Also, a small physical war which is taking place as well, but it's kind of covert and a lot of people don't see it. So what the caller was saying is correct, because if we go to war, we need to control an economy. We need to control industries. We need to work together. You know what I mean? It's just certain things that we have to have in place,
man,
in order to, to think about war or carving out a piece of land. You know what I'm saying? So I do want to give this quick definition real quick of nationality, and then y'all can go ahead. I just want to get his definition. Nationality is the status of belonging to a nation. So when you say, you know, we African, well, what nation is that in Africa? Or can we make African a nation or African Union? So, you know, so we got to tighten up as far as, you know, our identity, because like I said, I think that is one of the roots of our problems, is we just out here fishing, trying to regain ourselves, regain knowledge, and try to find our identity. But it's like we're a tree without roots, which is why we have a lot of chaos as Africans in America.
Because y'all say, we're saying that that's an unrealistic goal or something that may be achieved many moons from now. So I'll hit y'all with some things that you may be more obtainable, more reachable. Based even off your definition, maybe it'd be more easier for Black people here to claim a nation that already is established. Like picking out a nation in Africa, a country in Africa, and if you feel like that's the one you tied to, then you should reach out to that country and see what it takes to become a citizen to that country, and maybe you can move or migrate to that country. If you want to stay here in America and state that you're an American, and if we agree upon that, or whoever wants to do that, we're going to have to really continue the fight of the laws that you was talking about. That stuff is going to have to be changed. So I'm not opposed to not going to war with America, saying, look, we could become American, but America still has to change all that crazy foolishness.
Let me show you this. Watch this, Mustafa. Even as we talk about war, I think, and see, I'm the kind of person, I give credit where credit is due. The thing that white supremacy has dominated with is warfare. And warfare is when I can systematically make you do things to yourself without you subconsciously understanding. When I control your education, I control your resources. I mean, until you give them back their diet, their religion, and all of that, you're going to constantly be at war with yourself. So I can't think about going to war with somebody else when I'm eating a certain kind of diet, I'm subscribing to a certain kind of religion or belief or, you know, dogma. So that's one thing that they have mastered is warfare. Yeah. And they've mainly done that through what Marcus Garvey always described as the propaganda.
Right. Yeah. Before a physical bullet or any type of fighting, we're already losing the war, as we can see, which is why we're having this conversation. So they've managed to wage a covert war on us, and like the caller said, a lot of us don't even know what's going on, because we're sending our kids to school to get educated by these people who are who are telling them that, you know, basically giving them an inferior elementary to penitentiary education. You know what I'm saying? And we just don't know that this is part of war. Education is a part of war. Hollywood is a part of war. Movies.
Yep.
Everything, all these are warfare tactics to control you and distract your mind from what's really going on to liberate yourself. You know what I'm saying? And we got to always remember that when we talk about nationality and citizenship, we're working in within the context of white supremacy. So it was white supremacy who carved up the world and made all these fake borders with nationalities and all these different things to confuse the people and to give them an edge up, because if you divide and conquer, that gives you an edge over the people, you know, you're dividing up. So we got to remember that we're working within that framework as well, because they've divided up the planet into these different, you got South Korea and North Korea. You dig what I'm saying? Those people are the same, but they were broken up by white supremacy during the Korean War and different other types of things. So you got all these fake borders and things that are up, and this is also a tactic, you know, of white supremacy. So we're working within that framework as well. So, you know, we got to keep that in mind.
In order to have a nationality, you have to have a nation, and a nation is consistent of a landmass. How can you have
right.
a nationality and not have a landmass? You know what I'm saying?
That so is true, that right. You can't do it.
Israelites or Moors or Black or African-American, there is no landmass called none of those terms. So
true.
It's cool to want to claim that, but the fact is you still don't have a landmass. You still don't have a nation built that you can go to. You understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Now, I do know, I will say this to that point right there, Mufasa, that I do know that it was like maybe a few decades ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that there were a few countries in Africa that were offering citizenship to Africans here in America. I think it was like Ghana, Liberia, or Sierra Leone. It was a few that were offering citizenship to those of us, you know, that wanted to go back. And Nina Simone ended up moving to Ghana or buying a house in Ghana and living there for a little bit. And I do know that it's a few people in the St. Louis area who make frequent trips to Ghana, you know, and do things like that. So what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to eventually establish a relationship with African nations and with, you know, with international nations in general, just as a conglomerate, as a group. If we can get on the same page as far as like a code of certain things, we can be a conglomerate we can be a nation within a nation. You dig what I'm saying? Just like the Chinese
right.
over here, the Chinese come over here and they're like a nation within a nation. You know, they stick to a code. They basically mess with each other for the most part. They do business with everybody, but they kind of stick to their own and they follow a code. You dig what I'm
saying?
Yeah, but
I think
they
do, though, brother. Still know if anything breaks out or go down, they still know that they got some place to go back to. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. That is true. But what we can do is we can establish as a conglomerate, we can establish this as our home. And like I said, we can make those connections with other African nations. You dig what I'm saying? As far as, you know, trading resources or like the caller said, we could be, doing bartering or trading or getting these industries together where we're supplying them with hair products or they supplying us with sugar or coffee or whatever it is. We need to be building those relationships so we can, if push comes to shove, we can always be like, look, we're working with this nation. This is an ally. And if y'all don't do right, then it may be some consequences to pay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we would have to be tight as a group. We would have to withdraw. Like, we would have to show them that we're serious. Like, we wouldn't have,
right.
we couldn't put our kids in their army. Like, we would really have to be serious
Man.
About what we're doing. You dig what I'm saying? To send them a message like, look, we're serious. You know, we don't have a lot of our people in your armies, like, you know what I mean? And we have these nations that we're doing business with that would back us if, you know, we see that our rights are being violated or, you know, there's a human rights violation. So, you know, those are some of the things we can do.
Let me ask y'all, what is y'all suggestion to someone here, a black person that's here in America that say, you know, I'm American and want to be a part of the American nation? What's your recommendation to them? Since, like you brought up earlier in the conversation about the different laws and stuff, what do you recommend to them that they fight for that harder, or do y'all just tell them flat out that they need to pick something else? What's your advice?
I'm gonna tell you this, brother. You know, as we're going to war, and we are, you know, even with the racial and civil war that's being engineered at the moment, you're going to have to make a decision. The same decision that Harriet Tubman made, who took out her own hood. That
right.
If you want to be around white folks, if you want to be, you know, around this and the third, you better off being somewhere else. So either you're going
right.
to join us or we're going to take you out.
Oh,
because the last thing you need is a person that's gonna set you back.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, Harriet Tubman said it best. I could have freed more if they would have known that they were slaves. So a lot of people think
right.
that here in America, because I can go to McDonald's, I can go to the movies, I can go out to other kind of stuff, that I'm doing well for myself. When in actuality,
right.
again, the social engineering has got to their mind so bad that they don't understand what's really going on. And
I think
very soon in our lifetime, black people here in America, whether you are Christian, atheist, or whatever, you're going to be faced with a decision on where you're going to stand on these views.
That's a fact.
Every day, with all these affected white supremacists, engaging in conflict, whether it be in Walmart, the gas station, or college campus, you know. So at some point, it's gonna come where you gotta make a decision: is where you're standing at, and being neutral is not gonna be a choice.
It's not gonna be a choice. That's a fact.
That's gonna get you killed.
So I would say to that person, like, really, it's not for me to say now. I'm gonna just, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You dig what I'm saying? If you feel like you are American, knock yourself out. But I feel like that person would really be in denial to the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look at, like I said, I just read the Dred Scott case. That decision has not been rectified. So if you look at these decisions and look at everything that's going on around you, America is letting you know by the powers that be, quote unquote, that you are not a citizen. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, you can fight, like the caller said, you can fight for the freedom to go to McDonald's. You can fight, you know, to sit next to white folks in Walmart and all those good things and kumbaya. But the reality is war is being waged on you and has been for a long time by regular citizens and by this government. As we've seen, Judge Roger B. Taney, who brought down the Dred Scott decision. This wasn't some regular Joe on the street trailer park trash. No, this was a federal judge, and they won that decision 7-2. So 7 out of 9 Supreme Court federal judges decided that the African in American does not, or the Negro in America, African in America does not deserve citizenship. So we're talking about a government that's waging war on you. We're talking about individuals that are waging war on you, all in the name of white supremacy, because they don't feel like the African is fully human and deserves certain rights or deserves to be a citizen. So this is what we're dealing with. So I would tell that person, hey, you know, be careful, watch yourself. But if you feel like you're American, knock yourself out. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just knocking yourself out.
I think I'm going to go to Sudan, y'all. I think I'm going to, but let's check what it's going to go to Sudan or Nubia. I think I'm picking them two out.
Well, yeah, remember, it's a global system, so you may run into some some issues over there too as well.
I mean, think about it. So, you know, even our brothers and sisters over in Africa, they're having their own grievances.
Yeah,
and
right.
They're at odds with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
You
sure?
Yeah.
That's what made me say that. That's what I was saying about carving out our own nation here. Even though I know right now at this point that sounds like an unrealistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even in Africa, it's more said. They dealing with.
I'll tell you this.
No, they're dealing with white supremacy there. They're dealing with some of the same issues there that we're dealing with here.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't necessarily say that the goal is unrealistic. It's just, you know, I look at Robert Mugabe. He's pretty
right.
much doing the same thing that Gaddafi was attempting to do. And a lot of things that are not being publicized, but I remember when Donald Trump, before he even took office, when he was still in the primaries, he said that when I'm president, I vow to go up in Zimbabwe and take Robert Mugabe out. Because they know that if you engineer something like Gaddafi was trying to do, or that Robert Mugabe is trying to do now, that would change their system overnight. White supremacy would be done. Because Africa has all the resources it needs. Nobody cares about what's going on in Sierra Leone right now, but the fact of the matter is, when you want that cobalt, that iron, those diamonds, that's where you're at.
Right.
Over Sierra Leone. See,
we have all say, the Kyle, do you need. Have you got something else on, Kyle? We hearing like an echo.
No.
You hearing that echo too, Brother Kev?
Is that better?
No, I wasn't hearing it. I wasn't hearing it, bro.
Okay.
Maybe that's on my end. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was just saying, you know, if our brothers and sisters over in Africa were to engineer what Robert Mugabe's trying to do or finish with what Gaddafi's trying to do, white supremacy would be done overnight. Because imagine you having your own monetary system backed by your own resources.
Exactly.
See, America is only powerful because it's a parasitic system, and it depends on invading other countries and taking their commerce.
Fact.
Mm-hmm.
America has nothing. Mm-hmm. Europe has nothing.
Right. Yeah.
And then the wealth of America was built by who? You know, the wealth of America was built by who? You know what I'm saying? So. We really, we have to get educated on, like I say, we got to get our foundation. We don't know, a lot of us really don't know where we come from, which is why we have all these different identities. You ask 10 black people, somebody going to be a Christian, somebody going to be a Hebrew, somebody going to be a Moor, somebody going to be a Muslim, somebody going to be a 5%er, somebody going to be whatever. It's going to be so many different things. Somebody going to be black. But we don't have an identity, so we're kind of grasping for straws, trying to reconnect fragments of history and create an identity, which is why a lot of us attach to Kemet, you dig what I'm saying, to the Kemite thing, even though probably a lot of us more recently came from West Africa, even though, you know, it may be some evidence that the Kemites migrated to West Africa and all these different places, but, you know, originally, a lot of us came from West Africa. You dig what I'm saying? So we just dealing with a lot of identity that we're trying to put together and, you know, trying to figure out how do we overcome this system. But like Neely Fuller said, the biggest problem on the planet, and you can't solve nothing until you solve the problem of racism, white supremacy. All your problems are going to lead back to that system and to that paradigm. Whether you talk about poverty, whether you talk about nation building, whether you're talking about industries, resources, economics, you know, sex, politics, war, whatever you talk about, any area of a people activity, it goes back to white supremacy. So until we solve that problem, you know, we're going to continue to have these types of conversations. You know
what
I'm saying?
What do y'all know about the Moors?
You know what I'm saying? I asked a few Moors people to tell me they were Moors to give me a call in and go with us, but I think the Moors then got shook, y'all. So what do y'all know about the Moors, the Moorish American?
I tell you, I know a little bit about Noble Drew Ali. I think that they are on some points that they make, but in order for you to adopt their ideology, they have to be understanding of is all of us have not come from West Africa. All of us are not Mauritian. But I mean,
right.
The Moors have gone all over the planet. They actually, there was a guy that was I believe he was a Spanish Moor, a black dude that was a navigator that helped Christopher Columbus come over to America.
Fact.
But you never
hear
about that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to just be really at a point where we're educating ourselves, and I think that religion is the hugest destroyer in our society, because religion makes you forget that you're African. And
I
want to
know, where are they on with?
You say what?
I say I want to know, where is the army at of the Moors? The Moors have an army?
See, to the best of my knowledge, they don't have a military. I mean, they go around with their fizz, and, you know, they have a lot of publication and ideas about the whole nationality thing and sustaining your own nation. But my understanding, they don't have a line of credit. They don't have an army. You know, so they are lacking in some things that it takes for nation building.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. And I'm with the caller. Like, I know a little bit about the Moors. My uncle actually a Moor, and I didn't think about it. I wish I would have called him so he can call up and kind of build with us. But next time we do a show on nationality, I'm gonna make sure I reach out to him and have him call up. Or if you listen in, Uncle Tone, call up Islam, peace, brother. But I like a lot of what the Moors are doing. I have seen a few things where, they deal with the paperwork and, it can get some people in situations, and it can also get you out of some situations, you know what I'm saying? So it's just for people, you got to do your own research as far as the paperwork and, all the citizenship and, doing all that. So I think that could be a good thing, but like I was having a conversation with somebody online. And I was saying at the end of the day, brother, the European don't really respect that paperwork.
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying? Because we know that white supremacy is a lie just by definition. They're liars. They don't care about the Constitution. You know, these are the people that claim that they're these big patriots and all this stuff. But, no, they don't really care about the Constitution. If they did, then, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, we do know that white supremacists, even though they may fake the funk, they don't really care about the truth and about facts and about paperwork. So once you file that paperwork that says, you're not a citizen or you're a Moor and you're this and that, that's all cool and dandy. However, like I say, at the end of the day, they don't respect that paperwork. They'll lie straight to your face.
That paperwork may exempt you from some certain tax laws, but again, like you said, when it comes to paperwork as far as being treated fairly, we see what they did to the Native Americans even before the Dred Scott case. So
exactly.
These are people that respect nothing. They don't even respect themselves. I mean, anytime you have a group of people that don't even respect their own women, you know what I'm saying? So even as it relates to Moors, about a year ago, remember when a police officer killed that FedEx guy? He was
the Moor. Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't do anything about that. So you're not showing me that there's any power behind the information that you're trying to present to me.
Because
word
is your nation. You got to have a nation and you got to have a military. You ain't got no nation, you got no land, you ain't got no military, you ain't got nothing.
I'm not advocating that we all go out here and just kill white folks, but if we had the same code as they went by, and you know whether it costs our lives or not. See, the thing with black folk people is we are afraid to die. Now we kill each other.
Yeah, we scared. Yeah, exactly.
But there are certain implications that comes in your mind psychologically when you're being presented by a person that does not look like you. But if we had a code, you know, to say, hey, listen, if you kill one of us, we're going to kill one of y'all. You know,
right.
And where I'm at with the whole thing, I think I might have said this before, is, you know, if a police officer was to do something like that to one of my boys, that'd be the last time they get somebody. Because at that point, I'm going to go on a Nat Turner rebellion. I'm going to get taken
right.
out.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But when we have more of the rebellions, and it's a reason why you're never taught these things in school. Because if you knew about the Nat Turners, then it would give you a different implication on how you present yourself when you're confronted with white supremacy. White supremacy's
exactly.
whole job is to keep you in fear and in limbo of everything.
Yeah. Keep you
and
distracted.
I'll tell you this, brother. And even if you don't, even if you just study your enemy, if you study
exactly.
how your enemy moves, I mean,
exactly.
you tell us to not take the law into our own hands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody attack America, just like the 9/11, whether we see that or not, but I'm just saying, they use that as an excuse to go to war with a whole other country.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you tell us, we can't take the law in our own hands, but our country do it. So
exactly.
I say
yeah.
you study your enemy, and you move
yeah.
how they move.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because I have been studying white supremacy for at least the last year to 3 years, you know what I'm saying, like extensively. So I'm pretty much, you know, I'm still learning as it goes, but I have studied white supremacy, studied the tactics, studied the pathology, and just tried to learn how we actually got in this situation with them being the minority on the planet. Less than 10% of the planet are white people, yet they dominate the whole 90%.
Uh-huh.
How does that happen? You know what I'm saying? So I've been studying and just trying to figure out, you know, for myself, just how did we get in this situation? And the more I learn, I can kind of see, like, it all starts to make sense once you start put the puzzles together, especially us over here in America. If you strip a people of their culture, their identity, and then you replace it with what you want to replace it with, oh, they'll do anything. Like, you don't have to go to war. You dig what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? You can have these people submissive. You can have them comfortable. You can have them docile. You can have them weak. You can have them, you know, hypersexualized. You can have them going at each other. Like, it's just a lot of things that you can do psychologically, because we do know that the brain is a biological computer. So whatever
right,
yeah. you put in is what you go get out. Like, it's really not rocket science when it comes to that. Whatever you put in someone's head is what you're going to get out. So based on what we've been fed, based on our lack of history, based on our lack of a nation, based on our lack of knowing where we come from, this is the result that we have right now in 2017. You dig what I'm saying? A lot of us are just comfortable with being, you know, we're comfortable with being in a position we're in because we're looking at it from a slavery paradigm, like at least we're not slaves. You know, I can get a job, I can get me a Benz, I can get me a house. My son might get shot by the police and the police go get off. But you know what I'm saying? This is the thinking that a lot of us have, because we're in this situation. You know what I'm saying?
I got
like,
a theory,
we can get
bro.
Mistreated, but we like, it's not that bad. You know what I'm saying? So
I got this theory, brother Kev.
Bro.
I got this theory that back in the, you know, many, many, many moons ago, that cold
yes,
weather
sir.
Make a people, that cold-ass weather make a people do some crazy things.
Oh, yeah. That's
you,
the great theory. That's the
will make you do...
Really.
To
yeah.
other people, some wild. So
yeah.
when you come from an area like that,
yeah.
you become barbaric. You
right.
all you do is think about way. I mean, you eating, you not eating
a vegetarian diet, you eating animals and, you know, it's kill or be killed.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that type of climate will make a people barbaric. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think a lot of us even know that at this stage in life, we are in survival mode?
I think
that's something else that we have to understand. See, a lot of us were excited about watching the fight last night. You know, so we're being so entrenched in entertainment. Okay, we saw the fight last night. Now football season's starting up. But do you understand that we are in survival mode? They understand that. And the reason that I know they understand that is because the behavior you're seeing in the media of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just all the rallies and, you know, the riots and everything, they understand that they're dying off. Because that's something else that we have to incorporate is, even though they be, you know, 10% of the population of the globe, they are also dying off. Because they don't come from the sun. And I had did some research a while back and learned about this scientist at Yale University. His name is John Pavlov. He owns the patent to melanin, where he's figured out a way to keep them alive.
Wow.
Because, you know, melanin only comes from a sun or a plant. We have melanin in us. They don't. They are like a mushroom. You know, a mushroom is a fungus. Doesn't have a plant attached to it. So when you put it in the sun, it dies. And this guy, John Pavlov, out of the Yale University, he's created a photosynthetic form of melanin. And that may be the reason why you see white girls are looking more like black women structure-wise.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And even when you watch the movie Get Out, they're dropping you so many jewels that, you know, they're trying to, you know, extrapolate that you have in yourself and taking it on for them.
And this the thing too, y'all. This is what black people got to realize why we're so powerful, right? Number one, if you look at the history of America, and we could go global, we'll just stay in America for right now. We look at the history of America. All like the black people have been the engine and the juice and the oil for this country since we've been over here. You dig what I'm saying? We can start with slavery, making it a $1 billion industry. Then we can look at who we can look at the entertainment for the culture and for white America, quote unquote, because that's who we're really entertaining, right? So we got musicians. Any form of American music comes from black people, period. Mm-hmm. You can start anywhere, but it all starts with black people. Then look at the sports that they watch, basketball, football, baseball. These are dominated by melanated individuals. You dig what I'm saying? Look at all the inventions and the patents that we don't get credit for. This all comes from the genius of black people. So what they've done is they've created a system where they have to keep their foot on our neck because they know if they don't, just based on who we are, sun people and the original people of the planet, we're going to eventually take over. So even though they've maintained a system that gave them a disadvantage based on their race, they're still losing. You dig what I'm saying? Still losing. This is why they're scrambling today, because they know the end is near. You dig what I'm saying? They're scrambling right today, even though the system has been rigged for years. They've locked up millions of us. They put drugs in our community. They did all these things. They've, discriminated us with housing and jobs and did all these things, but yet they're still losing. You dig what I'm saying? And I know people give Barack Obama a lot of flack, but Obama, what he did was he put them on guard. When Obama got elected, they thought it was over. They started buying guns. They're like, the niggas are taking over. We got to do this. We got to do that. Even though a lot of people say he didn't do nothing for black people, in white folks' mind, he had them scared, which is why Trump was able to come right behind him
and get in office because they're scrambling, they're scared. If the system stays the way it is, eventually, just based on human evolution, black folks are going to get it together, start coming together, and we're going to start outperforming them, which is happening now, and they're starting to see this. So, you know, they're scrambling, and they got to keep our foot on their neck based on them surviving the planet because as the white pathology, they think that they're separate from everyone else, which I guess they are. That's what they believe. You know what I'm saying? Because they look at themselves, white people, as a different entity than the rest of the planet, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So they're scrambling to save their race and stay alive. You know what I'm saying? We got to understand that.
But Brother Kale, let me ask you this. It's not to keep beating a dead horse. Man, I'm going to ask both of y'all this question. Go into what I was asking earlier about America. What could say the government of America call both of y'all right and say, we really want to make amends for what we did to Africans, and we want to figure out what is it going to take for us to become one. What can we do to make y'all become Americans and we can move on? What could America do for you guys to make you join up?
I'm going to say this, and I'll be real brief, and I'll let you have it, Carla. I'm going to say this. Me personally, based on my code and based on history, I'm not going to trust them. You get what I'm saying? I'm just going to be honest. I'm not going to trust them. So, you know, we can sit at the table and talk, but in the back of my mind, I'm going to be thinking this person is probably looking for a way to strengthen white supremacy. They're going along and saying these things, but based on history – and just based on logic, I'm going to have a hard time trusting them. So that's going to be my take. I'm not going to trust them.
Okay.
Because I know how they get down. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to echo what Brother Kev has said. And, you know, basically, I have to look at it from the perspective. I can't think of the guy's name offhand. He was Ariel Sharon's right-hand man. The what was this guy's name? The dude in Africa that he got on TV back in the '70s and said that black people need to be taking this shit over in America, and he also stood up against Israel, even though he was Sharon's right hand man. You see, he let him be known. If you ever cross me, I'll fuck you up. I will bomb Israel off the face of the earth. Who is this guy I'm thinking of?
You talking about Selassie, Haile Selassie? Nah, you ain't talking. That's what you talking about.
He was in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia? You talking about Haile Selassie?
No. I said Haile Selassie was in Ethiopia. This guy.
All right.
Matter of fact, one of the outlaws was named after him.
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin. There you go. Idi Amin.
Idi Amin. So, okay, yeah.
I'm taking the same position as Idi Amin did. You know, hey. I can't trust you, or we haven't, you know, even Marcus Garvey came to the table with the KKK, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have to still understand that you are under the banner of white supremacy, and even as it relates to going to war, I'm not going to war against my own people. And if you notice, we have been used in all these wars. We helped liberate the Jews during World War II, and we were second-class citizens. And look at how they do it today. That's why I'm going to always, every chance I get, I'm banking on Ice Cube and Dr. Dyson, because the position you took against that racist, I didn't understand it. You know, Bill Maher. Half Irish. Yeah, Bill Maher is half Irish and half Jewish. Both of those nationalities have perpetually, historically, committed atrocities against indigenous people. From with the Irish, if you want to go about the true meaning of they look Irish Day, and even the fact that in the 1940s they were given white privilege and they gave them power over the police department, which they still control today. Yeah. And then you look at the Jewish people, you know, one, during slavery, they were the primary financier of the insurance would pay out your body being shipped here on arrival. And we look at the distortion of how they view us in the media, because they control all the banks, they control all the media. but they're only 2% of the people in the population. I find that amazing. And so, you know, the thing, like we said earlier, is we have to learn from our enemy and begin to do as they do. I look at it like life is a game of chess. In chess, the white pieces move first. So the move is already been made. So why, you know, so that should give you an advantage as a military person.
Yeah. And Mike, let me hop in real fast. Let's see if we have time to take a caller. We'll try to take two more before we actually end the show. But at least try to take one more. We have a private 111 call on you there.
Peace caller private from the block number, you know, private caller.
Probably white supremacy.
All right, he probably just listening. We got another one.
Yeah, let's try another one. Caller 314-319. Caller, you there?
Yeah, hello.
Peace, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's you want to chime in on what's your nationality?
Go quick, brother,
because
we're getting short on time.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. I was on hold listening. But, yeah, we get into it. I just basically state that, you know, I believe that my nationality is Israelite, you know, from a biblical standpoint. And that's by the ways of the prophecies and the curse, you know. And what the one caller was saying earlier about giving back these diets and religions, that was a good point, because in the scripture it talks about giving back, you know, all that to your oppressor and keeping the law, statutes, and judgment, that commandments that we should be keeping, you know, as what is found in the Bible, which is dietary laws. And it's not a religion, but it's a way of life that we would keep. And if we were, honestly, my belief is if we were to go by the biblical codes and guidelines of the Bible, that'll hurt the other nations, you know, as well, because we wouldn't be keeping a lot of their customs when we go back to following the customs of the book, which is our identity and our history, you know. But coming over here on the ships, the white man, you know, took that from us and put another face on it, you know, a white face, and gave us his image and his religion. But it never was a religion. It was a way of life when you go into the scriptures. And like Brother Kev was saying earlier about these other identities, like African, African-American, black, color, you know, the scriptures also go into prophecy as well about that, saying we'll be called by a byword and a proverb when we go into these other nations. You know, that's another prophecy as well. And that's why, you know, say that, you know, we Israel. You know, it's many prophecies, but seeing that the time is short, I'm just throwing them out there. We the only people on the face of this earth that's being called by everything else but the nation that we came from, which is the nation of Israel, which that nation do exist. It is a land. So that's why we'll say we Israelites.
Right. I agreed. And I want to say this to the caller point real quick, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I believe that the African here in America has been reduced to a nigger, which, I mean, not all of us, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm saying each of us have a little bit of nigger in us, but this is due to how they, you know, stolen our culture and gave us these different names and erased our identity and done all these things. But the nigger is the lowest form of human on the planet. And I say that because I'm going to keep it real, because I'm going to say that because he is actually outdoing the white man. The nigga outdoes the white man, because the nigga hates other niggas. You dig what I'm saying? He has no knowledge of self. He has no knowledge of his history, his culture, his customs, none of that. And he degrades his women.
Right.
In his music.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and this is not a shot. This is not a shot at hip hop or no black people per se. But what I'm saying is they have done a number on us in America by reducing us to being niggas. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So we got to
right.
get that up out of us. Yeah.
Right, and see, that's what I'm saying. In the guidelines of the scripture, it goes by so many codes that we should be following, and that's even codes of how you loan to your brother. Like, if you loan to your brother, it's not for extortion or making an interest off of him. You know, that's just one of the statutes. But when you loan to another nation, you can tax him. But if I give you $500 as my brother, hey, just give me $500 back. But somebody else, hey, you owe me $800 if it's outside the nation. And that's just one of many other laws that we should be following. And as far as right now, man, you know, as for getting the land or whatever, we can't do none of that right now because we don't have the army, you know, the government or the finances. You know, they got a stronghold over all that right now. And just a plug into what you were saying about also the entertainers as well, man. A lot of people don't know, like Elvis Presley, he got a lot of his moves from a sister called, I think her name was Rosetta Thorpe. For any listeners, go out there and check that out. You know what I'm saying? Because they always get everything from our culture. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, that's just a plug in. Sister Rosetta Thorpe.
Yeah, they don't create anything. We are the creators of the planet. That's the actual fact.
Definitely.
So they just monetize it. What they good at is taking our ideas, taking our stars, taking our creativity and our intellectual property and monetizing it, and they make money off of it.
You know, exactly. That's why they got a lot, a lot from their own slave. Well, when they was here, they slaved. They got a lot of ideas from them. We didn't have the money to put it forth.
Yeah.
So they take it and run with it.
So let me ask you, you say the landmass. What is the landmass for someone who is an Israelite?
The
land is their homeland?
Israel, but the thing is, it's trotted down Israel. But the thing is, Jerusalem, but it's trotted down by the Gentiles now, which under the 1948 Balfour Declaration is how the Jewish people, you know, got their land. You know, by the government. It wasn't by way of the Bible when it say Christ is going to give them the land back and deliver them out of the four corners of the earth. Because Christ is talking about the slaves, that the descendants of the slaves that was brought over here through the transatlantic slave trade, which is in Deuteronomy 28:68. You know, so he talks all about that. So if they was the real children of the book, Christ would be over there reigning with them now. But that ain't the case.
Yeah.
You know, it's stolen identities.
You talking about modern day Israel, right? For anybody who wanna, that's what I'm getting at. If anybody who wanna identify with what landmass you talking about, you talking about modern day Israel.
But given scripture also, you know, when he returned, he bringing back a whole kingdom. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm talking about as far as.
And Israel is actually Northeast Africa if you look at the map. And it's only separated by a little strait with a sea. So
And check this out. If we get into the history of Africa, you know that name is not even a name. We really should be even using it for that landmass.
Because
That was a European conqueror. You know what I'm saying? So when you deal with African and American, we dealing with two European names, a byword and a proverb that's been thrown on us. You know.
And that's what we were
looking at ancient maps.
A lot of the terms that we're using, even to describe ourselves, come from a European mind. So,
we
got a lot of work to do when it comes to, you know, healing ourselves and getting back to, you know, to being a nation and to being, you know, divine people, divine man and woman, you know.
Oh, definitely.
So, that's what we got to get back to. But
is it anything, like I asked my other brothers on the phone, is there anything that America could pull you into the conference room and say, what can we do to make it right? What can we do to get you to hate us and come aboard and be an American? What would you say? What is your answer to that?
My answer would be this, man. I'm just telling them, well, y'all just sit back and watch the show, because from a biblical standpoint, y'all got to be destroyed. And a lot of y'all people got to be taken into servitude, which would be better than the lake of fire. America got to be destroyed. I mean, anybody out there, go read Isaiah 34, the judgment on the nations. Got to be taken out. Because it's a major beast. And be honestly, we can't take this beast out. I'm with you. You know, the war, that's the only way you're going to get your land mass is by war. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way you're going to set up your government. That's just how they did in 1778 or whatever. You know, that's where they get their you know, the Independence Day or whatever. And for all the people out there, you know, I like to say for all the people out there, you know, that hate the oppression of this white man, you also got to hate his system as well. You know what I'm saying? You can't partake in his system, but then turn around and hate the fact that he's shooting us down, this, that, and the third. But you still support his system. So we got to turn away from all that.
Yeah, and it's going to be uncomfortable because, you know, we're going to have to get uncomfortable in order to get out of this situation.
Exactly.
A lot of things we do on a day-to-day, we support the system, whether, you know, unknowingly or knowingly. You know, everyone supports the system, but it's going to take us, like the caller just said, to sacrifice and give up their customs, give up the culture. Like, we just going to have to give up everything in order to send a message that we're serious. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, we're not playing. And I think it's going to happen organically as events happen and as people show themselves and the devil reveal himself. We going to have no other choice but to get smart and change our ways and get on code and start, you know, doing things the right way. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to happen. The question is just when. But like the caller said, America does have to be destroyed. That's just the bottom line. Like, there's really
it, man.
Around it. If you want to be free. If you want to be free, there's no way around that.
Right. Right.
Right on the caller for calling in. We're going to be getting free. I'm going to put you on hold, brother.
All right.
You got about 4 minutes left to the live stream. We appreciate everybody. We let you handle it, Tori. You know.
So love
you
to save.
I'm sorry.
Did you take all that in, love to save? What? We ain't got a chance to hear your voice. So come on, break it down to us. Tell us what you're thinking. What you pulled from all this?
Well, I'm
figuring out what your nationality is.
No, it didn't help with that. What it did was it just made me realize, like I said before, just how confusing language and words can be for us. I think they're strongholds. I think they prevent us from being the free spirit that we should be. And I'm more of a free spirited type of person. And it really, you know, bothers me that we have to have these types of conversations in regards to earth that does not belong to anyone in particular. I feel like we should be able to maneuver around this earth as free as we can, as, you know, as however we want to, as long as we're not hurting each other, you know, doing harm to one another. All this system crap, these are words that we giving power to. We calling it this, they calling it that. Forget all that. I just really wish that we would come to a point where, you know, we can just be here and be free like we're supposed to be. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't have order, but we should already know order from our spirit and that's inside of us. We already know I'm not going to hurt you. You're not going to hurt me. We should already know and operate ourselves with this certain type of order anyway. All this other stuff, it just makes me frustrated. I think words are just too much of a stronghold for us, and it keeps us, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, you know, and I think that's the confusion part.
Exactly. Real quick, Tanya, but that's a symptom of white supremacy, because white supremacy puts labels on people. So this is why I say once we solve the problem of categorizing people, you know, by race, I think we can kind of move forward. But all these labels, like you say, are very distracted and very confusing. You dig
well,
what I'm
family,
saying? So,
hold up. We're going to have to do this at another time because we about to get up off of here. So, hey, thanks everybody. And we appreciate you. Check with us. Look for us on Facebook, Collective Minds Radio. Soon we'll be having a YouTube page coming up, Collective Minds also. So continue to check us out, grow with us. We're trying to give a service to the community. Bill will be coming to mind with us, so we appreciate you. And hey, we can do this again next week.
Collective Minds.
Check us out. Find us on Facebook. Hey, hey, believe me.